Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. I'm going to leave that. I'm a little tongue twisted. It's one of those days today. Before we jump into the podcast today, I want to make sure I give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish. What I love about them is not only how easy it is to set up, not only how great their customer service is, but what I like is how innovative they are. They are always changing their machine, always making it better, always looking to pivot. It's why they're one of our sponsors, because we believe in them so much. So go over and check them out. Mention Coach Unplugged, mention High School Hoops, mention teachhoops.com, mention Coach Collins, mention anybody, and they'll give you $400 off related to us. That's, you won't find a better discount out there. And then also go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. If you're looking for a coach to help you coach, if you're looking for a mentor, if you're looking for my bat phone, if you're looking to get help in every aspect of the game, if you're looking for clinics, if you're looking for videos, if you're looking for motivation, if you're looking for handouts, looking for practice ideas, anything, we have it all in there with a 14-day free trial. Go over and check it out. Only 14-day free trial out there. You will not be disappointed. We believe in our product so much, and I think you'll love it. So go over and check it out. It's what helps us keep the lights on here and everything moving forward. So have a great day, and let's head off to the podcast. All right. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. Coach McDonald, I am so excited to have you on. I know we've been working to try and make this happen for a while, and I'm very excited about it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it over to you, and I'm going to have you kind of explain your basketball journey. So explain where you are in Massachusetts before we dive too deep. Where in Massachusetts?
Yeah, and even before that, I just want to say how thankful I am for you having me on. Like, I've been a huge fan for so many years. So the fact that you reached out, this was like, this is my Mecca, right? Like, this is my pinnacle.
Thank you. The check's in the mail. I appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right? Yeah, we do it for the money, definitely. I'm from West Roxbury, so right in Boston, Massachusetts. And have lived here, kind of moved back here. And then I coach at Norwood High, it's about 15 minutes south of Boston.
Yep. So I'm gonna talk about Boston. We were talking about this before we came out, how much I love Boston. Before the big dig, I was not a big fan. And people are going, what are you talking about?
I hear that.
The traffic was horrible. And the big dig made a big difference when they went under the bay and stuff. Because my wife and I, we were out seeing my son, and our flight got canceled out of Manchester, New Hampshire. So we had to drive to Boston. Super easy to get in now. But it for people. Oh, yeah. For people that are
so
listening.
That was my commute, though, was like during the big dig. So it wasn't as cool then. you know, I bet it wasn't.
I tell people it's like, the way I can describe Boston before it is if you've driven around Atlanta, you know what it's like, because Atlanta's horrible. It's horrible. Yeah. Don't drive around Atlanta. There's no good way to drive around Atlanta. But anyway, how much I love Boston. So explain, did you play? Where did you play? Did you play in college? Go through your whole career and we'll deep dive into that first.
Yeah, I played out at a high school. I was lucky. You got to play from 7th through 12th grade. So played at Boston Latin School out here. And then
Did you take Latin?
I took 6 years of Latin. I know. Et tu, Brute.
Oh my God, that's so good. So they're cutting Latin in our district. Our only one high school. Oh, I know, it's so good. Yeah. I mean, if you want to do well in the ACT or the SAT, take Latin.
I was just going to say, but now with that going out the window a little bit, it's maybe not as.
I know, as it might not.
I know, I could talk about that stuff forever.
Okay, that's crazy, Latin. Okay, go ahead, keep going.
Yeah, so after 6 years of that, got through that, and then got a scholarship to Stonehill College in Easton, Mass., about 30 minutes away from Boston. And then actually just went Division I. I played Division II in the NE10 against Bentley, Southern New Hampshire, bunch of schools out here.
Jump on the train to get the home and back, or did you have to drive? How did that work?
I drove. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or I got dropped off. We didn't have a car back then, so
yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, they were like, see you in a month, 2 months, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was great. You know, had a lot of experience, got to play right away. And then ended up staying on after to be assistant coach there. And their second assistant.
Did you feel like that was a good choice as far as the school goes? That's my first thing. And then, because I always tell kids, find the right school. Don't worry about the number. Find the right school. Because I went to a school. I had some options to play up a little bit. And I went to a D3 school, but I played right away. And I was captain by the time I was a sophomore.
Huge.
It was huge. It was so much a better experience for me. I'm probably not coaching if I didn't do that. Than if I'd have tried to maybe push. I mean, again, you're a guy. My dad was a guidance counselor, and he had some courageous conversations with me about my ability. Like, you can go there, but you're not probably going to play.
But I will say, I was actually, so I was being recruited by a lot of like Division I's, and then it tore my ACL freshman year in high school, and then got it back, recovered, and then tore it again my junior year, my other one. So I missed 2 out of my 6 years. So I still only had like really a 4-year high school. But thank God, and this is a huge tip to kids out there, is like, never burn your bridges with other schools, because those scholarships came, like the verbal offers, and then they went, you know, just as fast as they came, to a point I like couldn't even believe it. It was like, you know, 2 weeks after I was getting all these offers, I was getting told like, sorry, we can't take a chance on you, you know. And then Stonehill, through thick and thin, stayed there, and great recruiting by them. And, you know, my brother had played for Stonehill too. So I was always in love with the school anyway.
It's a gorgeous school.
So thank God, thank God they stayed in the mix, or else it's like, you know what, you don't know.
So, okay. So let's talk about, you tore your ACL. The same leg or different legs?
Different legs. Yeah. And then tore it again my freshman year in college. So that was my third time. So I tore it in high school twice. I was like an athletic kid in the most unathletic body ever. Like the kid that just could play every sport, but like the body just wasn't really, jiving.
So first of all, any long-term repercussions from it for you now, at your age now?
I just had my first replacement last year. So I had my 10th knee surgery a year ago and had a partial knee replacement. And then my other one needs to be done probably in the next few years.
Okay.
But not bad. Like, honestly, I wouldn't, a lot of it was just after college, you know. I had a couple of meniscus tears and things like that, kind of like just effects of the ACL itself, you know,
especially at the high school level, I think at the collegiate level, I think we're seeing less of those because I think they're doing things again, there's some biology going on. There's a reason girls do it more than boys because of the angle. I think it's the angle of the
anatomy
bone.
Of our hips. Yeah.
Because to give birth. So, I mean, I think there's some, but I think the science has caught up to the athletes. That I think it's, you don't see it as much. You used to see it all the time at the collegiate level. Yeah. Like, holy crap, it's like three
you
girls.
You actually see it a lot more from the boys, I feel like now. Like you see it a lot more with guys, a lot more with, you know, even NBA players, like stuff that you never really saw.
And before. I don't think they're doing the thing that, I don't think they've caught up to the girls. Like they're building other muscles to counter the, you know, to counter it so they don't tear. Like I have a friend who's a surgeon. He basically says, if you're a skier, that's what people used to twist their ankles skiing because the boots weren't that good. But now the boots are like a cast. So where does it go? It goes right to the knee. So anyway, so, okay. So then, sorry, I didn't mean to go down your medical history. So then what happened? So you stayed, you were there as an assistant. Then what happened?
Yeah. See, for a couple of years. But this was like back when the second assistant was making nothing, you know, I was making like $500 a month, living at home, you know, just bartending, waitressing, whatever I was trying to do on the side. But doing like crazy full-time hours, like, as you know, any college coach is doing insane hours. So ended up going back to school, to become a nurse. And then, kind of crazy, whatever. Wow. I was a history major in college, wanted to go back for nursing. So took all my sciences. And then, one of my, you know, friend's parents just said I'd be a great guidance counselor and coach. And I was like, it's a great idea. So I ended up dropping out of the nursing school and, enrolling to get my master's at Providence College, in school counseling. Yeah. So then when I was doing that, I kind of got back into the high school level and I was like an assistant at a school, for girls, and then ended up jumping in and being a head coach at a different school.
And then how long did you stay at the coaching girls? Because you were very successful. We won like 3 or 4 state titles, right? Yeah, 4, I think.
Yeah, I was there for 10 years as head coach of Braintree High School. And we were lucky. We were stacked. I mean, we were 19th in the country, like the number one public school in the country. So, you know, it's a public school. We just got blessed with all this talent. For a few years. So, and then we lost the talent. We kind of regrouped and won a couple more, which was good. So we won 4 in 10 years. And then I jumped over to the boys' side where I've been for the past 3 years.
So I told you before we jumped in. So tell me the difference between the two. Like, is there a difference between coaching boys and girls?
I'm writing a book. This is what
you
I'm
should write
do.
A book. You should, right? You should absolutely write a book. Are you kidding me?
Even your experience from being a JV volleyball girls coach, I'm sure you could write like chapter 7 and 8 of it. Yeah. I think, you know, it's funny. You can say whatever you want, like coaching is coaching and blah, blah, you know, all these cliches about, it doesn't matter if it's a girl or a boy. And it's such BS. Like there's such a different psychology to coaching both of them. You know, there's different tactics, strategies that work. So anytime you take over a new program, it's going to be tough no matter what, right? Like you're just trying to, and this program was not good. Like they were not doing well. So that's hard enough. Then when you're trying to get to know, like, what can guys deal with just in terms of endurance? How much can you push them, you know, compared to maybe girls physically, or how much shouldn't you push them to girls, you know, physically, like, just the personality types, how to go at them and kind of get under their skin enough where they're motivated in a positive way to do some good stuff.
Was there any alpha things going on? Like they're teenage,
no, I was really
first
lucky.
Of all, they're teenage boys. And I've been around teenage boys for 30 years. They are an interesting breed. There should be an island for teenage boys.
Yeah,
but there tends to be an alpha in most groups.
Yeah. And then there was, you know, there definitely was, I think, but for the most part, I knew these kids because I was their guidance counselor too for a lot of them. So they were the ones that were the most supportive in the application process. Like they're the ones that wanted me to come in and coach. They were already on board. And I just had a good relationship with them. So that was very easy.
That's the trust part that we were talking about before.
That's the trust
I think
part. That was
if
huge.
You would have come in from outside,
yeah,
there would have been a different, I mean, that would be a different chapter in the book is my guess.
I also think you have to, and you can probably appreciate this too. You have to explain more when you're a new woman on a boys team. So where the stuff, like if I was coaching a girls team or when I was, you just kind of do the stuff, right? Like you're not worried about whether they respect what you're doing, thinking it makes sense, whatever. So when I was doing, you know, drills, practice, whatever it was, game prep, anything with the boys, I felt like I explained more of the steps so that they knew I knew what I was talking about. Like, just to kind of throw it out there a little bit more, you right. had to earn your keep.
Where you got to earn your keep. You got to earn your keep. Yeah. And I remember sitting and talking, I don't know, to one of my friends. It's like, I mean, I know what goes, my daughter just came in here like 5 minutes ago. I don't know. She's a 17-year-old girl. I don't know what's going through her head. But when my son's 17 and when he walks in, I know exactly what's going through his head. So it's that, it's just that difference. It's like, it's nothing wrong with it, but it's just like, and that's where I think you're the good teachers kind of, it's no different than teaching. You know, it's that reading of the room and reading of the faces. It's similar to what I was talking to one of my colleagues today about with the mat, because we still have masks on, and I said, no, they gotta go, because I can't read them. Like, it's you only get so much from eyes. So if anybody that's listening to this, put a mask over and try to read somebody if they're smiling or they can't even tell if they're smiling.
Yawning.
Yeah, if bored. Yep. So it's like, so part of teaching and part of coaching is reading them. I get it. I don't get it. I'm mad. I'm angry. I'm happy. You're reading facial things and you can't do it through that. And I can, to be honest with you, I can probably read the boys' facial expressions a little bit easier, especially the athletes. But no, I think
girls they're more internal. They're starting to like the wheels.
They are. They're thinking, "Ooh, is he mad at me, or is he like the guy?" Yeah. Guys are, again, going back to the alpha. The funny thing is, I'll tell you two stories. One is I've seen guys go at it, like literally, like want to like kill each other. 3 minutes later, they're joking and shooting free throws.
Love it. Yeah.
No different. JV girls volleyball. Like walking. I've told this story before. I walk into practice. I'm 23, 24 years old. Two groups of girls, both one girl crying in each group.
Yeah.
20 minutes later, I get them back together. This girl, these were sophomores and juniors in high school. This girl had said something about this girl in sixth grade, and they're in 11th.
And this is
they brought
happening.
It back up.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And I'm like a 23-year-old. I'm like 2 years out of college. I'm going, what the heck?
But I think like I can't. I'm not getting paid enough for
that. What am I? Yeah. What am I doing here? And I'm not like. It's like
what is interesting though is I think as you go higher. So I had, like I said, some really good competitors in the girls' side. I went at them. They went at each other. They were on each other. Like there is no difference between the kids I had at Braintree, thank God, and like the kids that I'm coaching right now. Almost times where I was like my girls suck things up a little bit better than my boys were, you know, just in terms of injuries or in terms of like.
Oh yeah. So, I think you're right. I think that the girls team I was coaching was
it's very different
recreation.
At every level. It's
It was a recreation.
But you know what I appreciate though about the boys side of things is that the hierarchy for girls is who's cool, who's popular, you know, who's kind of in style. Right. And they get, doesn't matter if they're the best on the team, the most competitive, the hardest worker, they're kind of the top of that echelon. Right. On the boys side, if you're the best player, if you work the hardest, if your output is the best, you go right to the top. It doesn't matter.
If you can hoop, they don't care.
Right. They don't care. But that's where I appreciate it so much was like, they fall into line so much quicker.
There's a hoop, there is a guy. Yes. There is a, like, if you can hoop, they don't care. Like you can even be not a very nice person. And during those 2 hours, if you can hoop, there's a respect. Yeah. There's a hierarchy. I always say, and as a guidance coach, I've said this, you can see it at element, like, there, and I think this has changed over the last 20 years, which I think is a wonderful thing. A fifth grade boy, if you're an athlete on a playground, you got some street cred. 30 years ago, if you were a girl and were an athlete, you didn't have the street cred. Now I think that shifted a lot, actually. Where, you know what I'm saying? It's like when I was growing up, if you were a girl athlete, I mean, there was a girl athlete that I grew up with. It's a Hall of Famer. She's an unbelievable athlete, played at UW. She had street cred because she could, but she had street cred with all of us. But
still had to prove herself. Yeah. And that was me. I went to the courts every single day.
Yeah.
And still, no matter what, any new guy that showed up, I had to like 1v1 him, you know, just to kind of like shut him up and, you know, get him moving into my corner. Yeah. I get it.
There's something with that. All right. So explain to me, like walking into, talk about building a program. Let me generalize first.
Yeah.
What do you think the steps are? What goes into that?
Yeah, I mean,
we both have done it. Yeah, team I took over was horrible when I took over 25 years ago.
Was it? Yeah. And so you get it, you know, and it takes time. I think you got to get through that first year because you're going to have those seniors. You know, if you're in the high school level, you're going to have those seniors that are going to be really tough to change, no matter what. But you can start to drip it, you know, start to brainwash a little bit of your program and get them thinking what you want. I think the off season is so important for any program. And I think we all know this is just in terms of what you do. Like we started a pretty cool thing where we do a summer league now where we don't have a ton of booster money, things like that. So where teams were paying, you know, charging us $1,000 to go play in a summer league, we decided, you know what, we're going to do an all Norwood summer league. So we have six teams, we have, you know, three teams of our guys, and the captains get to draft the teams. And then we do like two teams of alumni. So we kind of bring them back in and one team of coaches, and it's awesome. You know, so like right there, you're talking about building your future. I'd have clinics before each of these. So like the younger kids would come up, play with us. And then, you know, you have your summer league right after it. And all of a sudden, like you get alumni that are rallying around your program. They want to be a part of it. So we had a scout team of alumni that came back and they're coming to all the games and talking everybody up. You have coaches that feel like more invested in the program because they're there and they're seeing it. I would ref. Like I was just, me and my assistant were the ones that ran back and forth and ref. So charged like $10 for a jersey and just got after it and played all the time. You know,
I think that's a great thing. The two things I think, first of all, remembering back 25 years ago is hard enough for me, but I do remember having to draw some lines in the sand that like, this is not acceptable. Like we're not doing this. This is not like, my only losing season was my first season. We were 7-14. And I've told this story multiple times, but I remember sitting in that locker room going, I can't do this with one of my assistants. And that bus ride, that 2-hour bus ride home, we basically built our program. We figured out exactly what we needed to do over the next 7 years. And we ended up winning the state title 5 or 6 years after that. But it took a lot of work. And it was like, no, you need to do this and you need to get in the weight room and you need to be at the open gyms. And so I'm going to cut you. It doesn't matter. Like you got to put the time in.
And they need to know that losing is terrible. You know, like you said,
this horrible. Like
Steve, I remember I just come from a program that won 4 titles. Right. So I'm coming like, this is great. But this new team was 6-14 the year we inherited. Right. So we go in, we're 9-11. We just missed the tournament my first year. And I'm literally lying in my bedroom with like a glass of wine, just being like crying. Like, this is the worst thing I've ever been a part of in my life. I can't do this. And it was like, then I was like, that's it. You know, we're winning forever now. I'm sick of this.
Right. Cause it's like, I mean, I've told this story. We can't play competitive games for the most part in our family because we're so competitive. It's like, I don't want to lose. What are you talking about? Like, no, winning is, I can learn every lesson. I hate when people say, oh, you can learn. Man, I can learn the same lessons from winning than I can from losing. But I think the second point that you brought up, which is key for, especially for coaches that are listening, when you're building a program, I agree. I think you got to come in and you got to set some standards and some pillars and you got to draw some lines in the sand. But I think that off season, we didn't play, we played this season, but we didn't play the previous season at all. Like zero. We played zero games.
Oh man.
So last year felt like my first year. Literally felt like my first year because I had coached nobody that was on the squad, zero. They didn't know anything about staying. So it took us till after Christmas to even get to a point where we were competitive. But now this off season is like almost like my first season after that one losing season. It's like, okay, here's what we're going to do. And, you know, I'll be in the gym tomorrow morning at 6:15 a.m. Hope to see ya. Like, this is the standard. You better be there. And like, coach, I got like, that's cool. Go to, you should have baseball. You should be lifting. You should be doing, no problem. But they know that I'm there. Like, this is what we got to do if you want to win. That off season.
You just, you know, you have three kids come, then you kind of put it out there. You all of a sudden have seven, you know, because we do the 6:15 shoot too. And then all of a sudden you have more, you know, asking about it. So, it, you know, like you said, it just takes time.
It takes time. And it's like, and it's like they came in, they shot for a while, and then they go, can we play? I go, you can play, you know, go ahead. Where I have pivoted in my coaching, is like, hey, go play 3-on-3, winners play kind of thing. You know, I think we had 10 there last time. It's like, make it more competitive. Like this whole, like, we want to run. It's like, well, come on. You guys don't even. The funny part is they don't. I almost got to teach them playground rules. Like,
it's so true.
It's like, you guys just don't.
Check it up.
You don't even understand how to hoop, man. Like, there's a place called James Madison that I would. You lost. You sat for 45 minutes. You didn't get to play again. Yeah. Like that was fine. It was the summer and it was hot, but it's like I want to go play. I don't want to sit here on the sideline and wait 45. Yeah.
So you find the right four kids to play with you, right? Like you go around and be like you and you get over here.
Let's go. We're gonna go hoop. Yeah. And it's like there's no like. So that's what I got to think about this summer too. When we start doing our open gyms, it's like, all right, how can we make this competitive? Like you gotta like. It's almost become too easy. Like there's 20 kids, there's two kids. No, it's like, you got to make this like sitting on the sideline.
And you guys have a lot more time, right? You can work with them in the off season. Cause we're not in Massachusetts. We're not allowed to.
Nope. So I can't do anything right now other than open gyms until the last day of school. And then I get 5 contact days and then I can do other stuff outside of that. As long as it's run through other, like, as long as I don't have anything to do with it.
Okay.
That's, so I can organize. The booster club runs some stuff and it's like, I can't, but I get 5 unrestricted days. And I'll actually use 2 of the 5 for those new June days, you know, those June days that you get that the NCAA put in. I'll use those in June, but basically I'll tell you my guys, I get them for June and I'm done. Cause I lose them. They're who knows, they're in Vegas and they're in Texas and they're in like, where they've been in April. So, so, which is fine. I said, and then August 1 football, I wanted to play a fall sport, go play volleyball. We boys volleyball is in the fall, go play those things. Great. So I'd leave August. August is like, I need 3 weeks to rejuvenate, leave me alone kind of thing. So it's like, I think that June, but are there any other things that you think as far as building a program?
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, and there's so much about the X's and O's piece and I keep learning all that just in terms of keeping it simple. And especially with the boys, like I will say that's a huge difference between girls and boys. Like we ran a ton of flex stuff on the girls side and we got ridiculous options off of it, you know, and you could have, because every girl will run through like 5-6 options, get to where you want to go, because they'll do exactly what you tell them. The boys transitioning over there, it was like, all right, we're going to do this, we'll get to, you know, these are the best options, are our 4, 5, and 6 options, and they're like never getting to that far, you know. So that was also a learning curve for me. So in terms of building the program, I started to like just keep it really simple. So now we have a foundational set, more read and react stuff, but still simple. And then we do just quick hitters for the kids I need to be in certain places, you know. But in terms of like other things we were doing to actually probably build more of like the culture and the program was just making it really fun to come to our games. You know, we getting the DJ, having music, you know, having like, we have a super fan club, you know, where they have the t-shirts and can throw them out. We have just a lot of like going on around us. There's a buzz.
And that's, right. I was and actually going to do that. Being near a big city, you need to do that even more. Like, I think I'm convinced we need, there's too many things. Like they could go to a concert down. I mean, there's 40,000 co-eds downtown. Like there's plenty of things for them to do in town. You got to make it more appealing for them to come.
And that's what we were getting. Like we're getting huge crowds, you know, so kids are, they're starting to buy in. So where we were losing maybe some kids to some of our private schools, they're staying, you know, at that public school, which is huge for us. It's like recruiting a stay in your town. And then it's like, it's crazy, but we have a really good private school, like 5 minutes down the street, you know? So we lose or have lost historically kids to there, but we haven't lately. So, I think
mom and dad would just as soon send them to yours, probably, if they can.
Well, that's what I'm like. It's a good academic school. I'm like, come on, you know, and it's free.
Right.
For education.
Right. You're not paying. You can save it for college. Yeah. I know. Exactly.
Hey everybody, thanks for listening. If you'd like to support us, go over and check out teachhubs.com for coaches who want to get better. Also, subscribe and like. We do appreciate those. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.